August 24th, 2017. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Everybody, it's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 215. I'm Matt Cleave, senior developer at Lullabot. With me, as always, senior front-end developer, co-host of the show, Florida Gator Mike Herschel. Hey, Mike.
Hey, football season's about to start.
Hey, it's getting to be that time
that
of year.
That is American football.
But yeah, what else
For
is there?
Any Europeans that may be on the podcast.
Oh, you're talking about soccer. That's confusing. I understand now. Oh.
I heard you really like the Orioles.
Yeah, they scored a couple goals.
Yeah, sports ball.
0-0 at the half. Yep. Anyway, so hey, Mike, we are the only Americans on the podcast today.
Yeah, we are. We have loaded up with Europeans, and we are talking about Contenta. Which...
Contenta. Hey, this is something that we referred to a few podcasts ago, just kind of vaguely. I think we had one of our guests kind of mention it in passing. Mm-hmm. Like, there was going to be this distribution that was going to be awesome. And I noticed that there were some comments in the podcast node on our website, and no one ever answered them because I think they were hard at work trying to make Contenta a thing, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I get notifications for this.
So we're going to be talking about Contenta, making your content happy.
Absolutely. Or something.
Or something.
First up, we have a senior developer here at Lullabot, the author of what Sally calls the Mateo stack, which includes JSON API and simple OAuth and subrequest modules. He is a professional sunbather from the Mediterranean island of Mallorca. Welcome, Mateo Bosch.
Hey, happy to be here. And I'm always happy to amuse Sally with my embarrassment about the Mateo stack.
Also with us today, we have Daniel Vena. He's no stranger to the podcast, a senior developer at TES. He's an author of a shit ton of Drupal. I think that's a technical term. Specifically, 4.5204% of all commit messages, according to DrupalCores.com. He's currently in sunny London, England. D.A. Vayner on Drupal.org. Hey, Daniel.
Hi, how are things?
Super.
And next up, we have a senior technical troll here at Lullabot. You don't leave your computer alone with her. Well-versed in all things JavaScript and Drupal, including all that newfangledy stuff. Also in sunny England, welcome Sally Young.
Hi, and I can report it is, in fact, very sunny today.
Ah, nice.
So, Contenta. First of all, what is the name? Is it Spanish, Mateo?
It is actually Catalan, but the same word applies to Spanish. So it is both Spanish and Catalan. But I like the name because it plays well with content, which is what we are exposing. And it also a feminine word. And that is something that we want in our community, more diversity and stuff. So I liked the name. I fought for it. And I know that some people don't like it as much as I do, but I guess that's fine. It has content in the name, which is, seems to be a trend.
So it's a great name, but what is it?
Well, Contenta is a distribution. It's a Drupal distribution. And its focus is on decoupled architectures. And in particular, it's in fully decoupled. None of that progressive decouple applies to Contenta. And it came up from a great set of different discussions that happened during DrupalCon Baltimore. And apparently many of the sessions that we gave and went to, people were kind of having problems figuring out, okay, there are all these awesome modules out there and they play well together, but I don't actually know how to put a site together with it and how to make them work. And I would love to see an example of it. Distribution kind of happened organically after those discussions.
So when we're talking full decoupling, we're really talking about Drupal being a system to manage your content, period, right?
Yes, exactly.
So I as a administrator of the site will go in and create nodes, and those nodes are my content. And Drupal is then exposing that content in a various number of ways to other systems that then do things with that content, like make a website with a cool JavaScript framework, stuff like that.
Yeah, but not only that, because one of the big things of decoupling is that you can have many digital experiences built on the same content base. So you have one Drupal, and then you have a cool website with a cool JavaScript framework, but you also can have an Alexa skill. You can also have an Apple TV app. You can also have a wearable application. You can also have the mythical fridge application that displays some content on your smart fridge if you have one of those.
It kind of helps answer the question what your website might look like on a lamp.
That was what I was thinking. So I'm assuming it exposes JSON, correct, or some type of RESTful services?
Yeah, it uses JSON API. The current iteration of Contenta is focusing on JSON API, is focusing on OAuth2 and on the sub-requests module for performance aggregation. And it follows the JSON API specification because it is something that I'm very familiar with my work at Lullabot, and I kind of like it.
What exactly is a JSON API specification? Like, obviously, there's tons of APIs out there that serve JSON. If I have an API that serves JSON, does that make it JSON API?
No, unfortunately, no. I mean, the JSON API specification is pretty cool in different senses, but not in the naming. Because, as you said, it's very confusing. Not all APIs that spit out JSON are or take in JSON. For that matter, our JSON API. It is a particular shape of a JSON object. You have to structure things in a particular way. You have a set of rules of how you interact with the API. And by being opinionated, it kind of takes off the way all the discussions on, okay, what should my JSON object look like? Because in the end, that is not as important as getting the job done. And then if you have all those decisions declared up front, you can have the JavaScript framework have a library that parses JSON API and makes things easier. But if you go with your own shape, you would have to parse it yourself and make sense of that content.
Okay. So is JSON API something that maybe like a standard front-end developer that has never worked with Drupal but might be familiar with React or Ember or something similar to that be familiar with?
Yeah, totally. I think that JSON API is especially popular among Rails developers in the backend and Ember developers in the frontend.
Okay.
But it definitely also works in any kind of scenario.
Gotcha. So you can use that with like React and Angular. And are there any other frameworks that are using that? Or I mean, are there any other frameworks that are working with Contenta?
It's not that the framework itself has to work with it per se. There's tons of libraries available that you can pull into your project that's using whatever framework. So
okay, so you just npm install whatever type of magic?
Yep.
Cool.
I think it's just that the data is being exposed in a standard way, right? And then whatever can consume it.
Exactly. There are plans, I think, to integrate GraphQL as well. There might be a few people working on that, but I'm not sure what the status is at the moment.
Shh, that's a secret.
Oh.
You heard it here first. Wait, no, you didn't. Yeah. So where do I go get Contenta?
ContentaCMS.org.
So it's not on Drupal.org?
No.
Why not?
There are issues with the way we have our distribution, and it wouldn't really be suited to be hosted on Drupal.org.
I'm not 100% about the status, but there used to be problems with like composer-based installation profiles on Drupal.org. But we should at least have a project page on Drupal.org, which we haven't yet, as far as I know. But yeah, I hope we can bring it to Drupal.org, given that that's the place where people like.
And also, there is a small problem with licensing, and Drupal.org doesn't allow any code that is not GPL to to be hosted in Drupal.org, and we are using a kick-ass admin theme that is Material Admin, and that one has a CSS library that is MIT licensed, and you have to go through a whitelist process, and we are in that process, and you know, things are moving slowly, so we have a few blockers on that.
Okay. And the other thing is, like, when you go to our GitHub, you can see the Contenta CMS project, but you can also see all of the consumers available as well. So it's, I think going there is a slightly better jumping off point.
What do you mean by consumer?
So one of the things we've done for Contenta is to implement an example site. So we have followed the Out of the Box initiative, who are building a recipe site. Mm-hmm. And so lots of people have been building sites using the recipe API that we built with Contenta in all kinds of different frameworks and languages.
So when you say recipe, you're talking about food?
Yes.
Okay. So Contenta out of the box has a API that has a bunch of different food ingredients and stuff like that that you can control through your Drupal backend, and then it outputs JSON and the JSON API spec, and on somewhere on GitHub you have various different front ends and different technologies that can consume this and actually output HTML.
Yeah. So when we say out of the box, there's actually like a couple of options when you install Contenta. So you mm-hmm. can have a completely blank slate, which is very similar to Acquia's Reservoir project.
Okay.
Or you can have all of the example content available. And that shows lots of good patterns for building decoupled sites.
That makes a lot of sense.
What is Acquia's Reservoir project? I hear all these water-themed names, and I don't know that I follow them all.
Acquia's Reservoir is a distribution that serves a similar purpose, but I think that they are focusing in having they're putting the emphasis on the simplicity of things. They are probably, and please correct me in the comments if I'm wrong, they are focusing on the non-Drupal developer that kind of wants to use Drupal because of all the features, but doesn't know how to deal with Drupal all that much, or what entities mean and what nodes are or bundles or whatever. So they have stripped a lot of complexity so it's easy for other people. And right now they only support users, files, and nodes. Yeah, that's their option. We feel like, or at least we kind of saw that by building these out-of-the-box recipe sites or experiences, I would rather say, that that is not really enough for us. We need all the types of entities, like taxonomy terms. We need media entities and all sorts of other configuration stuff for more interesting interactions. And yeah, that's the biggest difference, actually. They are limited to one set of entities, and Contenta kind of exposes all the might of Drupal.
So you can do taxonomy. Can you do any type of entity, like comments and stuff like that too?
You can do comments and all that stuff too. Yes, you can even do different types of comments and bundles of comments. You can do actually anything that Drupal supports in the entity system. You can do it in Contenta.
Is there any type of like views integration with Contenta where you can like output, I don't know, some type of, like, I know Views tries to integrate its own content, but is there any way that you can create like lists of stuff, or is that all handled on the front end view layer?
That is handled by JSON API. JSON API has in that set of rules that I mentioned before that, mm-hmm. that define how you interact with the API. One of the things that they have is something that's called collections, and you have a rich way of setting up filters dynamically. So you just say, hey, give me all the recipes that are for dinner that take less than 45 minutes to cook. And then the API responds you with a list of JSON objects that follow all those.
Contenta also does authentication, right? So you can go ahead and log in, and this happens with what, the simple OAuth module?
It is one of those things where we kind of think that this is best practice, but Contenta itself is not opinionated about it. So out of the box, Contenta gives you a nice UI to manage your OAuth client entities and everything, and recommends using OAuth 2 with simple OAuth. Yes, but we don't have actually at the moment any authenticated example in the consumers, as far as I know. But Daniel and Sally know more about the consumer part.
I mean, there could be a lot of potential use cases. Like for a recipe site, people maybe like post like pictures they made while cooking a certain recipe, or like they asked some questions about a recipe. I don't know, is it 190 or rather 195 degrees in the oven? So I think there are a lot of use cases, and I think we should explore them because it just will show us where the weaknesses are of Contenta right now.
Okay. So let's talk about the admin interface. You mentioned with the Reservoir, they're trying to simplify it, so you don't even really need to know Drupal. Does Contenta have like a standard Drupal backend interface? You mentioned a different theme, or how is it different?
So we started with trying to find something that conveyed that it was mobile first, and there was this with those search terms, there was this material admin theme that popped up, and we kind of liked the material design idea because it would also be good to provide agility to consumers to work on, because you know it is a framework for design. So it looks like Drupal when you install that admin theme. But we also tried to bring in all the nice UI improvements that Reservoir added. They are a free open source project, so you can just go there and take the code. And we actually talked to them, and we said, hey, why don't we try to put these UI improvements inside of Contenta and see how much we can reuse, you know, with copy and paste, and then we can come up with something that can be generic for both projects, so we can collaborate more on, you know, common goals and benefits. So that's what we did, and the end result is that we have material admin, which is great. We have the simplified UI, but then we have a tab in the toolbar that gives you access to everything else that it is inside of Drupal, which is something that a Drupal developer will want.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense.
You mentioned not using views earlier to create stuff for your API, but you can still use views to create stuff on the editorial side, and it's really powerful for doing stuff like that. So we're not throwing all of that away or anything.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that sounds really cool. So the output of a view can be the output of an endpoint? Is that essentially what you're saying?
So views in Drupal 8 comes with REST support in quotes. So you could configure like a custom endpoint via views, but I think it's not recommended because most of the time actually the front end wants to define what kind of data it gets. And this is exactly the model JSON API is following. So the front end asks, like, I want to have 4 articles on the front page or something like that.
Okay.
I love this confusion because it kind of shows how a decoupled site is. I think what Sally was referring to was more to the admin side, which is one of the parts of the decoupled. And then the other part, the one that JSON API takes care of, is the front end side. In the admin side, Contenta takes a stance of having Drupal be the best CMS in the world to manage your content. And it has views, and you can build like nice content reports for editors. You can build a tailored admin interface, you know, that works with the workflow that they do. You can even have the workflow module. And, you know, so you make sure that everything goes through the review process before it's exposed via the API and therefore to your Fridge application or your LAMP. So there are these two sides. And I think that, yeah, it is great that we had this confusion because I have it all the time.
Yes. And like one day it would be great if like we could write an admin theme that does all the same things that the Drupal admin theme does in a consumer, like, you know, write it in JavaScript or whatever, but we're not quite there yet.
So you mentioned that, you know, Drupal being the best content management system for content. Have you compared Contento or done any type of research on like different systems? Like I know WordPress has a built-in REST API. I know there's 4Pay systems like Contentful. How does Contento compare? Are there any situations where those systems are better?
Yeah, so I actually looked at quite a lot of similar systems just before Baltimore, actually, for my talk that I gave there. And yeah, it was interesting. Like WordPress has Calypso, which is their fully decoupled admin interface. And, you know, there's other like, things in Python and Rails and stuff that do similar tasks. But the thing with them is that they just don't do as much as Drupal. You know, you can manage users and blog posts, and that's sort of the limit of it for most of this stuff. There's no like complicated workflows and other things built in, or you know, squashing images into different sizes, stuff like that. I also did look at some other hosted solutions, things that aren't open source, like Contentful. I really love Contentful. I think it's really great. If you don't want to deal with hosting, that's fine. You then use Contentful, but obviously you are limited by the set of features that's available to you there. And it is a lot, but you know, if you want to self-host, then Contenta is a better option.
Now, Contenta, you can host anywhere where Drupal can be hosted, right? There's nothing strange? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And there are solutions that, you know, take the where should I host Drupal out of the equation. One of the things that we did when trying to figure out what features do we see as important, we tried to base our decisions on our past experience with the type of projects that we've been working on, because we've been doing decoupled sites for a while now. And also one of the things that we did was to, you know, try out all these different providers, and Contentful was one of the systems that inspired us more than the rest. And it is probably one of the reasons why we decided to put in media integration, like a must-have, because it made us realize, oh, that is true. We actually need this in real projects, and we don't have that in Contento. You can build it with Drupal, but we think that a decoupled site will need media integration.
We're talking Contento on the Lullabot podcast, making your content happy, a Drupal distribution built for decoupled. We'll talk about how to get started and using Contento coming up right after this.
Oh, hi.
Senior developer and trainer Joe Schindelar from Drupalize Me. How are you, Joe?
I'm good. How are you?
So what's going on at Drupalize Me these days?
We've actually been really busy making some tweaks and improvements to our site. And, you know, over the last year, we've been so heavily focused on content that we haven't been making many changes to our site. And we've done a couple of things recently that I think are pretty cool. One of them is, like, it seems really minor, but we added last updated dates to all of the tutorials on our site, which, right, it's like, oh, that's Drupal. You just click a button and ta-da, you can display the last updated date. But we had like 3 or 4 years of discussion about whether or not we should actually display when we last updated the content. And I think that the reason that we landed on yes, we should, is that, you know, it helps people feel more confidence in the material that they're reading on our site when they can look at it and say, like, oh, this was updated recently, or kind of in line with the most recent release of Drupal and that kind of thing. We're adding some more tools like that to the site that make it easier for people to understand, like, yes, this particular tutorial is up to date, or no, this one is actually out of date, and we know that, so proceed with caution, you know, until we get around to updating it sometime in the future.
Which tutorial these days is the popular tutorial?
Our Migrate API and sort of like Drupal Migrate stuff for Drupal 8 has been super popular for probably the last like half a year or so. That's kind of been the most popular content on our site. So apparently there's a lot of people that are either moving from some other platform to Drupal or are working on upgrading their Drupal 6 and 7 sites to Drupal 8.
Joe, one thing that I like about Drupalize Me is that you do all the work for me. In that, learning isn't always easy, and you have already gone through that process and figured it out, and you know, have winnowed it down to a point that is it's easily understandable. What was the hardest thing that you had to learn about Drupal 8 that you've made a tutorial about, and it's on there now?
Oh, man.
Because there's some tricky stuff out there.
I think for me, the hardest thing has just been kind of wrapping my head around some of the object-oriented programming things that are part of Drupal 8, because it's not something that I had done prior to learning Drupal 8. And what's interesting about a lot of those things is it was really tricky for me to initially kind of wrap my head around them and place them into the sort of like what I need to know about them in order to be a Drupal developer. But then once you learn the patterns, like dependency injection, it's like this really scary, oh, how am I ever going to learn that? And then you learn it and you're like, oh, that's not actually that bad now that I understand what it is and how to use it. It was just kind of getting over some of that FUD and understanding like this isn't as daunting as it sounds.
There are no syringes involved.
No.
Thanks, Joe.
You bet.
Welcome back. We're talking about decoupled Drupal with a Drupal distribution called Contenta. And with us, we have three of the creators of Contenta with us. So walk us through the out-of-the-box experience with Contenta. How do you install that? How does it differ from Drupal? What does it look like?
And what do you actually have when you install it?
So as part of the Contenta discovery process, we talked a lot about how can we actually like allow non-Drupal people to install it. So we came up with this idea to have a like quick install. You need PHP on your system. You need like SQLite, but that should be basically it. You don't even need MySQL. And then we have on contentacms.org, we have like a 3-line thing you paste into your command line, and this will download you everything. It will start installing Drupal, ask you where to put it, and then it takes a while. It has to download a bunch of stuff. But once that is done, it will even set up a web server for you and will open it up in your browser, and you are basically ready to go. You will see welcome to Contenta CMS, and it will explain you the next steps you can do, which is, for example, you can log in to this site. You can explore Contenta itself, which means, for example, you can check out the API documentation, which is probably what many people do. The API documentation was built by many people. So there was, for example, in the API documentation, there was a lot of collaboration with Ted from the Reservoir team, which is amazing. Just shows how powerful open source actually is. But there are other things you can do once you have Contenta installed. Like you can create actual content. Which is probably the first thing people want to do, like see how easy is it to, you know, create content or edit some content with Drupal. But for the next step, people then also can manage their content models, which in Drupal terms means add a new content type. But from there on, it's in quote, normal Drupal. So people which are already familiar with Drupal will not have a hard time to get started. But for the people which don't know Drupal, or at least don't know JSON API and these kind of technologies, we ship with documentation. in this documentation, you see like a bunch of cards, which all point to external videos, mostly Matteo has produced. And we hope that we will like expand that with like blog posts and other kind of stuff.
I love that confidence, though. We ship with documentation, darn it, because there's a lot of projects out there that don't.
Yeah, that's so important, especially in, you know, free open source software. I did install Contenta like on my local, and it was super easy. I ran the there's a composer install script that, you know, I just copied and pasted it. It took about, you know, I don't know, 15 minutes to download and install because Composer is slow. And then, you know, I kind of just browsed around and I saw, you know, to the right of each content type or whatever I was looking at, it showed the JSON output just like in the admin interface and what that's going to look like. And personally, I thought that was pretty slick.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to also point out is that apart from downloading to your local, if you only want to look at how it is to interact with the API and you know, get some data for this recipes thing that we're saying, there are public instances. We have cms.contentacms.io, and then you add after that /API. But if you go to the root domain, you will see the Welcome to Contenta screen that Danny was describing, and from there you can click around, and you will see what you would get if you installed that locally. And that public installation comes with the recipe content, but when you install it in your local, you can say, okay, I know what Contenta is. I've used it in other projects, maybe a million projects in the past already, and I don't need the recipe content because that's just an example. You have a checkbox that you can uncheck during installation, and it will not install any of the extra content that, you know, gives you all the recipe examples. And if you do install the content, you can just revert it and delete all traces of it with one click, which I think it's useful.
Sally, you've built a React front end for Contenta. What's it like working with Contenta?
Mostly really easy, because there's NPM packages available that kind of abstracts away any difficulties with it. There is a few Drupalisms in there that we're working out currently, which is to do with media and images, unsurprisingly. But that was pretty much the only difficult thing. We haven't finished like implementing all of the consumers, so there's definitely stuff in progress that all of us are still working on, and that's, you know, things like routing, stuff like that.
Daniel, you worked on an Elm consumer, is that right?
Yeah, I did indeed. For the people which don't know what Elm is a delightful language for the web, and delightful in the sense that it should be easy to use. And
to be honest, I saw the notes and I just pretended like I knew what I was talking about. What is it?
It's a tree, like, Matt.
It's a language which is really designed for the web. It's not designed like at the moment to, I don't know, run your server or, I don't know, do some heavy data processing or something. It's really, the entire language is designed for producing websites or web applications, which makes it just really delightful, I have to agree. Of course, like, it's not something most projects will use. JavaScript is the lingua franca these days.
Yeah,
and it was kind of designed for the web too, though, wasn't it?
JavaScript?
Yeah.
JavaScript was designed back in, I think, like 1994.
Yeah, for web browsers, though, right?
I guess so. I think the story of JavaScript was created in 2 weeks or something like that, something like ridiculous by some, you know, Netscape engineer. I might be totally wrong on this.
It makes for a good story.
Yeah. There's a JavaScript Jabber, which is a great JavaScript podcast where they had one of the creators of JavaScript on, and I listened to that.
So there are other ones out there too, right? I've heard Jared Bittner, a Lullabot, working on an A-frame consumer, which has to do with VR.
Yep. And we also have Matt Davis from MediaCurrent. He's working on the Angular consumer, which looks really great. There's a blog post that you put up about it recently. We'll put that in the show notes. We also have Ionic, which is also looking really great. And there's another one, which I just saw, which is Vue.js, which is another UI type framework similar to React. It's very, very popular.
So if
one of the things that I like is that usually many people would argue about would you prefer Angular over React or Elm or Vue or Ember, or we could go on and on and on. But when you go to Contenta's Slack channel, you see passionate people that would take a React tattoo, talk, and get, you know, benefit from the experiences that the person that wrote the Vue integration had, and the problems are kind of, you know, apply to each other. And I like seeing that because it shows how just having one Drupal can be serving to all these different arrays of consumers. And it is pretty exciting to see all the people that Sally mentioned, and more that it would be too long to mention everyone, but I would like to try, if I may. And if I forget your name, please forgive me.
It sounds like there's a pretty decent community around Contenta these days.
Yeah, the Slack channel is above 100 and something people.
Do they have to be really cool people and know the secret handshake to get into that Slack channel? Or?
Yeah, obviously. I mean,
no.
That's the way we work.
No. Come on.
So we're on Drupal Slack, where lots of Drupal developers are. So you can join that by going to drupalslack.heroku.com. I think we'll put that in the show notes too. And there's a Contenta channel in there that we're all in waiting for you to come and say hello.
Like, what are some difficult parts that you're doing? How does Path Alias?
Yeah, these aren't necessarily Contenta focused though, right? Like, that's a decoupled problem, right? When we start to remove Drupal from the front end, there are issues with some of the things that Drupal handles fairly well and kind of innate to Drupal. So when we take away things like path aliasing, from Drupal or image styles, the front end then has to end up figuring out how that's being handled. How does Contenta solve a problem like path aliasing and routing and that kind of thing?
One of the things we have on the Contenta GitHub is a module called Snail that Daniel and I wrote, and it will disable routing for nodes when you add aliases to them. So right now, if you install a stock Drupal site, you could go and create a node and you could give it a path alias of admin, and then your admin interface would be unavailable because it would route to the node first. So we don't want to have stuff like that happening, and we don't want the routes that are valid in Drupal to be valid on the front end, because /admin isn't something that, you know, the React app or whatever should have any knowledge about or even care about. So we've kind of turned all that off, and so that means when you can query JSON API using another module, I can't remember the name. Can I remember the name of it?
Fieldable path.
Yes. So you can query JSON API by those path aliases, and it will give you the nodes back. But in Drupal, they won't actually be valid routes. So in that way, it completely separates those two separate routing spheres.
How is that not a massive bug in Drupal that anybody who can create a path alias can totally remove your ability to view the admin interface?
It is totally a massive bug in Drupal, but there's just so much time everyone has.
I thought maybe there was an argument for like, that's why it should be done, because maybe this node is your new path alias. I don't know.
Well, there are many things that you can do to break your Drupal side. We know that. I wanted to say that, Matt, you're completely right. I mean, those problems are hard problems. They are not content specific. They are decoupled problems. And one of the things that we have seen is that people maybe come to the Contenta Slack channel and interact with the Contenta community because they have, maybe they are not running the software, but they are running decoupled Drupal, and they have the same hard problems that they know that Contenta will face. And we have very good discussions in there that end in things that work. Like, for instance, we're trying to solve this problem that the simple snail module solved. And that was an epic discussion with many people involved. And at the end, Sally said something like, what are the action items in here? And then, you know, she and Daniel made it happen. And that was only because, you know, the ideas that they had first were challenged by other people's ideas, and that made them evolve. And, you know, open source and discussions kind of helped that forward. And we have had some other discussions that are epic. I remember about WYSIWYG editors. I remember about image styles. I really like that part, and that people are coming in there to discuss these kind of problems and try to seek the community expertise. And because at the end, we want to provide in Contenta, whatever time allows, a solution to all these problems, or at least the best set of best practices, or I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, I don't like the word best practices because, like, you know, maybe in a year's time it would be better. Design patterns, something like that.
Practices that meet the current standard of...
Yeah.
Practices that are the best. Oh, no, that's not.
They're definitely the best. They're the absolute best, and no one has ever come up with anything better.
And no one ever will, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So how about forms? So Drupal's form API is kind of been my favorite ever since I started with Drupal. Like, seriously, like it solves a problem in a fairly standard manner. It's definitely a Drupal specific manner, but you know, and it does it well. So when we take Drupal away from the front end, we lose forms in the front end. And that also makes things like comments that are Drupal specific not easy as well. Does Contenta do anything to solve those issues?
It doesn't solve anything particular, but because we are using JSON API, we gain this feature that pretty much everything which is an entity in Drupal, which might be a node, might be a user, but might be a comment or maybe a contact form, for example, is theoretically, so all these entities are then supported by JSON API. Not only for reading data, but also for posting data.
So because it's an entity, there's a standard way to create the entity, and the API can then create the entity. But you're not necessarily relying on that form to create the entity.
Exactly. So you can basically in Drupal like configure which fields you expect, but then it's all about the consumer deciding how the actual form should look like. And maybe the consumer decides to skip a couple of fields.
At the end of the day, you're building a website for your needs. So that makes sense.
Right? Exactly. Just as a disclaimer, I know that the contact integration doesn't work right now. But that's in quotes, just an implementation detail.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention that Ed Faulkner from the Ember community and the Drupal community, he's been around a lot lately. He's trying to do something similar with that. Everything that we do regarding JSON API is based around entities. And we have a definition of entities in the configuration system in Drupal. And we know that, for instance, an article has a body and a title and some tags. And we know that the title is a string, the body is a longer text, and we output that information, the information of how the entity is constructed, using another standard called JSON schema. And that is what powers the API documentation. But you can use that to generate forms automatically. So you could, from, I know, an Angular app, you could ask, hey, Drupal, I want to build a form for an article. So give me all the information of how it looks like in Drupal, an article. And it will tell you, okay, I have this field called title, and it's a string. So you can have other Angular software that say that sees that you're trying to build a form for a string, and it outputs a text field. And then it has a body, which is a longer text, and it sees that, and it outputs a form with a text area, and so on. So you can build automatic form integrations, which just require your Angular app to go to Drupal and say, hey, give me the information of how an article is built in Drupal, and it will figure out the form.
Not a whole lot different than what Field UI does for Drupal, though, right?
It is similar, indeed, yes. And instead of having our own monolithic approach, it uses JSON schema, which is a standard of, you know, defining shapes of objects. So, yeah, and it is available for Angular, React, and many, this software that takes JSON schema and produces a form, it is available for many, many technologies.
So Drupal distributions in general have not, I don't know, they haven't been my favorite. There's been a number of different Drupal distributions that have had a lot of work done, and then they seem to kind of fall off the maintainer's radar.
And a lot of times when you start with a website that is a distribution and then that website evolves, you fall further and further away from the distribution, and you wished you weren't a part of the distribution in the first place. So I think the question is, distributions suck. Why does this one not suck?
I think one part of Contenta, which is not really mentioned anywhere explicit, but at least for me, it's really all about having like a way to start. But I would really not recommend people like to try to continuously update it, because it is a really tough problem to sync configuration between, you know, your installation profile and your actual site.
So do you recommend that production sites be built on top of Contenta?
I think it's a tough question, but given that Contenta is basically a set of well-maintained modules, I would totally tell people that they can try out Contenta and actually ship it.
Okay. But
as you asked before, it is, when it comes to maintaining a site, installation profiles are not easy. I know that Lightning, or rather Acquia, did a lot of work on Lightning to make like configuration updating like sort of feasible. We haven't explored that route yet, but in general, I think people customize their site so much, and it's actually part of Drupal, right? Drupal has all this power that I think like trying to like keep in sync with like the installation profile is like an unrealistic goal.
I totally agree with that, and I would add that Contenta may be a good place to start and see what modules are these people using, and what are the other tweaks that they add. There are some configuration things that we do, because we have faced those problems before. We, for instance, generate or allow course requests out of the box with some security concerns added into that. And all that kind of stuff is what you get when using the distribution. But once you kind of have gone through the process of digesting those small bits of configuration changes and set of modules, etc., you can probably just go off and use exactly what you need. Maybe your site doesn't need any authenticated traffic, so you probably don't need simple auth. So why should you have it in there? You probably don't.
Cores, Mateo, you mentioned is cross origin resource sharing, not the beer from Colorado.
Yes, okay. That is true.
Just checking.
I'm kind of let down, honestly.
So upcoming is something that's probably fairly exciting for you three. Coming up, we're actually recording this before the event happens, but the podcast will be released after Decoupled Dev Days. I take it, Daniel, Mateo, Sally, you'll all be there?
Yes, we will.
And it's a Drupal camp that's kind of specifically focused at decoupled Drupal, right? What's happening? Are you speaking? What's going to go on?
Yeah, we're all speaking about Contenta. It's a one-day conference, so yeah, there'll be lots of great talks packed into one day. And then the second day is for sprinting, so we'll be working away on stuff. And it'll be really nice because there'll be lots of people there who have built lots of decoupled sites before. They might not be doing stuff with Contenta now, but we hope we can persuade them to come and help us out.
We also run the risk of releasing this podcast after Contenta completely changes after you all three sprint for 14 hours straight and make it all awesome and completely different.
Yes, of course.
Well, we're keeping the name.
We like the logo. It's like a happy smiley plug.
Please disregard everything that you've heard prior to this except for the name and logo. Well, thank you. Three, for being on the podcast. I have one more question for you. If you had one thing that Contenta could do that would be magically written and implemented and without any bugs, what would that be?
Is this the Drupal Genie question, Mike?
Yep, the blue Drupal Genie.
The blue Drupal Genie is going to grant you one wish, and it'll be done.
Well, I, for one, I would like that Contenta would actually prepare all those recipes for me. And not just put them in my screen.
You have to have the refrigerator and the microwave front ends for that.
More time for coding when you're not cooking, Mateo.
Yeah.
Daniel?
Well, that was basically my answer. maybe at least the fridge could, like, based upon what we cook, order stuff, or at least suggest us what to cook. I want a fridge to tell me what I should cook.
I think you could probably build a Contenta consumer that could do that for you. Sally?
I would love image styles to be a fixed problem, but it's not. It's such a hard problem in decoupled that it's not necessarily something that can be fixed with only Drupal. We might need like another service too. So,
that's going to be my sprinting topic on sprint day. Yeah. So come help.
So image style is going to be a fixed problem after Sunday is what you're saying, Mateo?
Sure. No.
But we will have talked the topic to death maybe.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your listening to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with anybody here, you can just tweet us at Lullabot. We'll point you in the right direction. You can also leave us a comment on the show node at lullabot.com.
Rate us on iTunes or whatever you're finding us on. And leave comments on our podcast page because that page is not a node, Matt Cleave.
Oh, dang it. Okay.
Like, at least now you don't have to write tests anymore.